I speak to you in the name of God who forgives all. Amen. Before church, several people came up to me and said, "I hate this gospel." So here goes. First of all, it is a male story. There was a man who had two sons. A male story. A tale of three men who suffered much, separated from each other by the silence of their unspoken hopes and loves and longings. I call it a male story because we men are experts at silence. We are notorious for not expressing our feelings, for silencing our fears with fierce demeanor, for enduring our losses stoically, for not letting others break through to us. When I listen to this story so endlessly unfolding, I hear the awkward silence of a father and two sons who let their life go by without ever coming close. One day the younger son said bluntly, "Father, give me my share." Now you'd think they might have talked about this demand. "Where are you going, son? Shouldn't you leave something here in reserve? We will miss you." But we have no clue to the father's feelings. No sense of impending loss or even vicarious adventure. There's no farewell party. Just a terse comment that the son took his journey into a far country. And then he was gone. I imagine home was even more silent with the young adventurer away. The older brother obviously worked hard, working like a slave, he would later remind his father. There may well have been women around to brighten up the home, but the story doesn't even notice them. It's just a story of three men, each one lost in an awful silence. Clearly, the story is about forgiveness. When the younger son reached the end of that far country, perhaps the place beyond the wilderness, and turned for home, his father ran and embraced him and kissed him, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." But somehow that homecoming seems too easy. Despite its placement in the mouth of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, in the New Testament of the Bible, the return of the young son is kind of too neat, and it troubles me. Because this is a family in some pain, filled with words they never spoke and longings they never voiced. Yes, there will be reconciliation, but not until we finish the story. The great Bible scholar, teacher, Verna Dozier, is right, I believe, in saying that the entire parable is addressed to us, the older brother. It's not that we're sour and sullen like him. Well, maybe some of us are. But it's not necessarily that we're sour and sullen like him. But he is the only one in the story whose story is left unfinished. We know what happened to the prodigal. We know what happened to the father. But what is to happen to the firstborn of the family? In every family, there are corridors of silence that protect us from harm and even protect us from love. To the deeply troubled alcoholic or abusive family, the silence may be strangely, oppressively protective. What is never said seems too awful to say. And somewhere within, all the family joins in a kind of conspiracy to keep their world from exploding. But in most other families, the silent corridors are no less painful for being less nightmarish. In these silent worlds, sons never appreciate their fathers or speak their appreciation. Siblings never acknowledge each other, and parents never offer their passion and love spontaneously. I am, in fact, an older brother. And not until I was 40 Yet I break the silence in anger and ask my father why he never showed me affection without my having to ask for it. Not until years had passed could my siblings and I speak about the slights endured and the hopes delayed and times of communion lost. We discovered that all of us, parents and children, spent far too long lost and alone, each inhabiting a silent cell within the family. I believe that the younger son in this story has broken his family's silence, not by going away, but by coming home. What he could never have expected was that his homecoming would trigger the collapse of the whole silent world of these three men. What if he had never come back? What if he had died in the pig pen, or found another job, or gone to yet a farther country? His older brother would no doubt have spent the rest of his whole life working like a slave and obeying every parental commandment. But the boy came back. And his father ran to greet him and threw a great party for him, and that made his brother angry. He refused to party. So his father came outside to try to persuade him to join the festivities. And the father really missed his chance, because the older son, firstborn son, heir of his father's life, was also lost. Lo, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a party. I have to take issue with most commentators on this great parable, because the most powerful and lasting homecoming is not the one from the far country. Who would not explode with love and joy at the return of the prodigal? It is high drama and bold gestures, almost too obvious. But the unfinished business lies outside the party, and the father didn't get it. His firstborn son had finally broken his silence with a passionate and painful and plaintive cry, "You never gave me a party. This son of yours," not my brother, "this son of yours, who has devoured your wealth, worried you sick, soiled your good name, he has a party. Well, I'm starving for your love, not your commandments. Just once. How often I have waited for you to run and hug and kiss me." All this passionate escape from silence, the father says nothing directly to his son. He says, "It is fitting to make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, he was lost and is found." There the story ends. It has always bothered me to think that the father had eyes and arms of forgiveness for only one of his lost sons. But you know, it is a sign of grace that the silence has broken. These three men lived a long time in their lonely male world, and it will take a long time for them to learn to touch and feel and express their pain and their love, and to learn the grace of life together. All through this season of Lent, throughout the Christian church, men and women and young people are being brought along, carried along by us to their great baptismal bath of forgiveness on the night of Easter. And this parable stands notice to God that all persons in the story need a running hug. From the passion and assurance of their resurrection embrace, all the newly baptized will replay this story more than once again in their lives, as we have done in ours. So why not pick up the tale and finish it yourself? Where there is silence in your life, get up, speak up, look up. Remember that lost and alone are not defined by geography. There was a man who had two sons. Just imagine that later that night, after the fatted calf was just a pile of bones and the party was over, the father managed to gather both sons to walk with him so that he could break his own silence and say to them both, It is fitting to make merry and be glad, for my two sons were dead and are alive. They were lost and are found. And he could see them both and embrace them both and kiss them both, and they him. Amen.